The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back. Lord knows they'll try to silence our voices. They'll pretend to be patriots fighting for fairness.
Yes, they pretend to be patriots fighting for fairness for all folks. Good evening, and welcome to the, what is the date today? The 5th of April, Tuesday, 5th of April edition of the National Intel Report. I am your Tuesday host, Michael Herzog, and shortly I will deliver my weekly report. That report titled, Are We Ready for a New World Order? Well, are you folks? Are we ready for a new world order? I pose that question to all of you, as this very question was used in the World Government Summit held this past March 29th and 30th. Now, I'm going to have you listen to just a little snippet of that in a minute. But before I do that, I want to, you know, take a trip down the annals of yesteryear, if you will. How many of you out there remember the days when, well, if you had a problem, you know, with your bank or with your auto dealership or, you know, with anybody, you could make a phone call and boom, you know, within a minute, you'd get right through. They had the availability. They had the staff. They had everything you need. But isn't it funny, over time, we have transcended this almost feel like they really do believe that we're just cattle. And it, you know, the fish rotting from the head down, it's like, you know, all the way from the top, all the way down. Folks, I just spent 5.5 hours today back and forth between Uber support and my bank. At the end of it all, I kind of felt like I was in a ping pong match, and I was the ping pong ball, because I exaggerate not, it was a minimum of 15 calls between the two. Unfortunately, on the one end with Uber, they transfer all your calls to a call center in the Philippines. Well, that's an adventure in itself because it's kind of difficult. Although those people are very docile and very apologetic and nice as they can be, there is the language problem. On the other hand, with my own bank, well, due to COVID and due to lengthy delays because of this, that, or the other thing, they put you on hold for infinity. And then about 5 to 10 minutes in, they'll ask you if you'd like to hold your place in the queue and have them give you a call back, which I always elect because I hate just sitting listening to music on the phone. I don't like their music. At any rate, bottom line is, folks, this was all over a direct deposit that is made every week to my account from Uber that I didn't get week before last and I didn't get last week. And the reason that I didn't get it is because, according to Uber, 2 weeks ago, I made too much money, and they couldn't transfer it in the way I normally transfer it. So it had to go into a direct deposit through my routing number and all that good stuff. Unfortunately, the account number was wrong. And at the end of the day, I finally, thanks to a beautiful lady at the bank in which I bank, was able to track it down and intercept it before they sent it back to Uber. Interestingly enough, when they intercepted it, they found that the account number that Uber had sent it to was indeed my account number. Unfortunately, the first four digits and the last four digits of the account were missing. And my question is, how does that happen? How does that happen? I mean, talk about wanting blood pressure medication in a hurry. I mean, really. This is what we've evolved or devolved into, folks. You know, it doesn't matter who, it seems not to matter who you're dealing with in this day and age. That you're put on a hold, you're forced away, you're changed over from this person to that person to the other person. And I don't know, there's what the humanity in it is gone. It's just, you're now just a digit, just a number, just a, you know, a queue in the line. A number in the queue, and along with many other queues in line, they're likely going through the same thing you're going through. But getting back to my story here, my report. Yes, the new world order, folks. Are you ready for a new world order? Because that very question was used in the World Government Summit held this past March 29th and 30th. I want you to have a listen to this. Very short, but listen to what they spoke. Go ahead, Mike. Play clip one.
And the title of this session, are we ready for a new world order?
The title for this session, the whole premise behind their World Government Summit, are we ready for a new world order? Now, folks, interspersed in this two-day event were numerous speakers, all of which were goose-stepping to the same tune. Now, I'll share the tune with you in a moment, but first, I'll play a snippet of a speech in the event from one Pippa Malgram. Now, for those of you who may be unaware of Miss Malgram, that's a name that hasn't surfaced lately, I'm relatively certain. So let me introduce you. Philippa Pippa Malgram is an American technology entrepreneur and an economist. She served as the special assistant to the President of the United States, George W. Bush, for economic policy on the National Economic Council, and she is a former member of the U.S. President's Working Group on Financial Markets and the President's Working Group on Corporate Governance. I see. Working under George W. Bush, another globalist, consulting on financial markets and corporate governance. Corporate governance. Now, wasn't it Benito Mussolini whose quote was something along the lines of, and I don't take it verbatim, but it said that, you know, the definition of fascism is the marriage between corporations and government. Ms. Malgram is a member of the Council on Foreign Relations. As many of the RBN listeners are aware, the CFR is a think tank that specializes in U.S. foreign policy and international relations. It was funded by David Rockefeller, Paul Warburg, and many others whose main goal has always been world government. And she's also a member of the Chatham House. For those of you who have not heard of the Chatham House is a, listen to this, is it's a group that protects the ideas of their members from public scrutiny. Now, folks, you would only form a group such as this if you wanted to discuss political matters that, well, may not be in the best interest of the populace. So the Chatham Group maintains your anonymity. Now, Miss Malgram is also a member of the Institute for International Strategic Security. Now, who is that, you ask? Well, I took this explanation right from their website, folks, and I quote, "For 60 years, the International Institute for Strategic Studies, the IISS, has helped to shape the strategic agenda for governments, businesses, the media, and experts across the world." Now, I ask, what does that tell you? Shape the strategic agenda for governments, businesses, and media? Well, it tells me that their goal is just as the U.S. has been doing post-World War II, restructuring and molding countries to conform to their globalist policies by orchestrating coup d'etats, overthrowing and sometimes assassinating elected political leaders as they deem do not, as they deem, and that do not conform to their goal for the world. Leaders who have enacted policies contrary to the New World Order agenda, or, well, in the case of Manuel Noriega, had some serious dirt on a sitting U.S. president, i.e. George Herbert Walker Bush. But others in recent notable memory would be, well, Saddam Hussein, trading oil for euros. Oh, that's a big no-no. Or how about Muammar Gaddafi attempting to cut the ties with the international banking cartel by trading African oil with the gold dinar? And let us not forget Petro Poroshenko, whose exit opened the door for what we are now witnessing in Ukraine. Now, I could do an entire report, folks, on these criminal exploits, but that's a story for another day. If you haven't already read the book Confessions of an Economic Hitman by John Perkins, it outlines all those dirty techniques, and I would suggest it's many years old. I interviewed John on my show a couple times years ago, but you know, if it pretty much lays out a battle plan for what they've been trying to do for and accomplish for many, many years. But for now, let's just have a listen to Ms. Malgram speaking at the World Government Summit last week, shall we? Go ahead and listen. Go ahead and play clip two, Mike.
What underpins a world order is always the financial system. I was very privileged. My father was an advisor to Nixon when they came off the gold standard in 71. And so I was brought up with a kind of inside view of how very important the financial structure is to absolutely everything else. And what we're seeing in the world today, I think, is we are on the brink of a dramatic change where we are about to, and I'll say this boldly, we're about to abandon the traditional system of money and accounting and introduce a new one. And the new one, the new accounting, is what we call blockchain. It means digital. It means having a almost perfect record of every single transaction that happens in the economy, which will give us far greater clarity over what's going on. It also raises huge dangers in terms of the balance of power between states and citizens. In my opinion, we're going to need a digital constitution of human rights if we're going to have digital money. But also, this new money will be sovereign in nature. Most people think that digital money is crypto and private, but what I see are superpowers introducing digital currency. The Chinese were the first. The U.S. is on the brink, I think, of moving in the same direction. The Europeans have committed to that as well. And the question is, will that new system of digital money and digital accounting accommodate the competing needs of the citizens of all these locations so that every human being has a chance to have a better life? Because that's the only measure of whether a world order really serves.
Oh, really? For us to have a better life? Oh, my. Well, I'll tell you what. First of all, for all of you out there who encounter the conspiracy theory, oh, that's never going to happen, direct them into the archives of this show, okay? Because that isn't me talking. That's Pippa Malgram talking about it at the World Government Summit, okay? Which, you know, if they have their wet dream, if they have their way, this is coming down, folks. And I don't even have to tell you, I'm sure you've all thought about it, what this will mean. You're not going to be able to do anything without them knowing every nickel you spend. Also, they have the ability to cut off your funds anytime they want, for whatever reason they want, if you don't, well, you know, conform to their level of social credit score or what have you. Or maybe you're overweight and you want to go buy a Twinkie. I don't know. You know, or you didn't pay your taxes. Or, you know, a multitude of reasons. But what she says, folks, is that we're about to abandon the traditional system of money and accounting and introduce a new one. Digital currency. Now, having an almost perfect record of every single transaction, which will give them far greater clarity over what's going on. Oh, yeah. In other words, they will be able to track and trace every financial move that anyone makes and prohibit the purchases. Again, if you score low on their social credit score system, they can seize your digital wallet if you don't play nice with them, roll up your sleeve, take a vaccine. Think Justin Trudeau in Canada with the truckers demonstration when he wiped out the bank accounts of anyone who donated to the cause. And in Pippa's opinion, they need a digital constitution of human rights. You know, sort of like what we have in place now for any IRS disputes. A tax court. Which anyone who's been involved in that knows, that's the place you go to lose any appeal you may have regarding an IRS issue. Now, what Ms. Malgram sees are the superpowers introducing a sovereign currency. Superpowers, plural. Introducing sovereign currencies. How does that work, folks? The very definition of sovereignty is supreme power or authority. And if you are creating a digital currency involving China, the first, as she mentioned, the UK, which is already on board, they've signed on to it, and the US, then by its very definition, that means those countries have supreme power or authority, meaning that they are part of a one-world government. There is no other way to describe it. Will that new system and new money accommodate the competing needs of the citizens of all these locations so that every human being has a chance to have a better life? Because that's the only measure of what the world order really serves, according to Pippa. Ask yourself this question. Are you going to have a better life if they're monitoring and tracking and tracing every nickel you spend on everything? Monitoring your social score, monitoring your weight, monitoring your any possible, well, you know, not socially acceptable things that happen in your life? Folks, did I just hear her describe how they are attempting to put lipstick on a pig and attempting to convince us to both kiss and thank the pig as the pig is giving us the chance to live a better life? Under the guise of a benevolent idea to benefit humanity? A life in which every monetary transaction we ever make again, forever, allows them, on a daily basis, maybe on a minute basis, give us a financial colonoscopy? Forever? Now, I'll tell you what, I need to set the tone before we hear from this great benefactor. So, I'm going to, right after the break here, let me check this out. I think, yeah, I'll wait for the break. And right after the break, I'm going to introduce this. This guy is, well, let's put it this way. You may have just heard of him in the recent, not too distant past, but his name is becoming increasingly more familiar. And he's one of these people that, according to the left, and according to the people that have, grabbed onto his coattails, he's one of these people that is supposed to, or maybe he's the person, unless he's as well as being controlled, you know, the strings of the puppet are being pulled. I'm not sure. I think so. But he's a member of a group of people, you know. I don't know whether they're gremlins, goblins, or elves, but they're a group of people that he is overseeing with the philosophy in mind, the for the greater good, the good of humanity. Remember that clip that we played? Oh, gosh, it was probably a month ago or so. It's for the greater good. It's always, folks, for the greater good.
And the title of this
session,
are we ready for a new world order?
Oh, okay. Mike just threw that in there. I didn't ask him to do that. But anyway, hold that thought in mind, folks, because again, after we go to the break, I'm going to introduce you to this gentleman who is the benefactor, okay? And I'm going to introduce him with a musical introduction. So hold on your hats. We'll be back in three. I hear the music. Michael Herzog, the National Intel Report, coming to you live from some remote desert location in southern Arizona. Be right back.
Consider this. dead people see only what they want to see. And frankly, most of us are still dead. Let me give you the lessons of gold and five easy lessons. Number one, don't buy it because you need to make money. You buy gold because you need to protect the money you already have. Don't ever look at the price as a barrier. Look at it as an incentive. Number three, don't buy its paper pretenders. We talked about that a lot. Buy gold. Buy the real thing in the form of coins and bullion. Fourth, don't fall prey to glitzy television or Facebook ads. Do your due diligence instead. And that's what I try to provide you with and have for 26 and a half years on the air and 30 years in this profession. Fifth, don't allow naysayers to divert your interest. Allow yourself the right to protect your interests as you see fit. Jeff Bennett here. One of the ways you can do that is to contact Kettle Moraine Limited. Contact me by calling or texting me at 602-799-8214. 602-799-8214. You can also email me at kettlemoraineltd@cox.net. Let me help you protect your wealth and your family today. Once again, call or text us at 602-799-8214 or visit our website, SierraMadrePreciousMetals.com. Be glad to help you out. Be glad to answer your questions. That's what we're here for. No pressure, just good, hard, common sense. The decision then becomes up to you.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Full extent and the systemic and structural changes which will happen. However, we do know that global energy systems, food systems, and supply chains will be deeply affected.
Yes, folks, another familiar gift giver from the event, one of whom we are becoming increasingly familiar. Familiar? Flamingo? No, familiar. Santa Klaus Schwab. We do not know the full extent and the systematic structural changes which will happen. However, we do know that global delivery systems, food systems, and supply chains will be deeply affected. Yeah, Santa Claus. You know, because you are controlling and orchestrating the collapse of those very systems to coordinate the introduction of the digital currency. Yes, didn't you write the book, COVID-19, The Great Reset, Santa Claus? And speaking of COVID, wasn't it the faulty Schwab that your medical minions convinced billions of people worldwide to have shoved up their respective nostrils in a most painful and humiliating manner. And not being content with that, you wish to introduce a sovereign digital currency to further stick the hose up the populace worldwide with a daily financial colonoscopy, invading the personal privacy of our monetary rectums on a daily basis. Yes, they know, folks, because the entire scheme is designed through famine, plague, and war to get people to beg them for a solution. Problem, reaction, solution. Will the sheep ever awaken, ladies and gentlemen? That's my question for you. Are they ever going to wake up? You know, how many times through the years have we seen this event happen, that event happen, Oklahoma City, 9/11. I mean, all of this stuff, all orchestrated by the same people. And they still turn a blind eye and they still want to believe that their government is benevolent. Oh, please save us. And while we're being distracted and coerced by a complicit, corrupt mainstream media centered around loading us all on the Vladimir Zelenko is a hero bandwagon, and he needs Polish MiG-29s to defeat the evil Putin, let us not forget his financier, Igor Kolomoisky. In March of 2022, folks, Al Jazeera reported that Kolomoisky was a source of funding for the neo-Nazi militia group Azov Battalion before the group was incorporated into the Ukrainian National Guard. Yes, Zelenko, a puppet of Kolomoisky. By the way, I just heard that Putin bombed his. Was it an oil refinery or something? It belonged to Kolomoisky. A big thank you from Putin. But anyway, in April of 2021, Kolomoisky and his wife and his children were banned from entering the United States because the USDS accused him of corruptly using his time as governor of, Dnipropetrovsk, okay? Whatever that is. I guess it's a state or it's a city. Man, I usually don't have problems with words, but that's a big one. Anyway, he was the governor there to personally enrich himself, okay? He was banned from the United States, him and his family, his kids, folks. In a statement, Secretary of State Anthony Blinken said, and I find this fascinating, he said, while this designation is based on acts during his time in office, talking about Kolomoisky, I also want to express, this is Blinken talking, I also want to express concern about Kolomoisky's current and ongoing efforts to undermine Ukraine's democratic processes and institutions, which pose a serious threat to its future. Now, is it just me? I mean, I'm scratching my head going, isn't it interesting that on the one hand, the United States bans Kolomoisky from entry into the country, but on the other hand, applauds Zelensky as a hero who is financed by Kolomoisky. Now, I have not yet investigated what convoluted geopolitical sense that makes, but on the surface, I'm going, what the F? I mean, it's just ridiculous. But you know what, folks? Off topic, I have to bring this up because I found this fascinating on the subject of, you know, that congressional hearing all those congressmen and senators walked out. Oh, when we're talking about Zelensky's speech, when all these congressmen and senators walked out and said, oh, what a moving speech. And the one, he was a congressman and senator, I don't know who he was, but he says, oh, we needed to have those planes over there yesterday. You know, what's her face, Pelosi, she comes out and she talks about how moving it was and what a hero he is and all this good stuff, right? All this cherry on the top of whipped cream of a turd. I hear the music. The New World Order's back. We'll be back in three. I'll continue with this. Michael Herzog, the National Intel Report. Stick around, more to come, folks. Be right back.
Truth. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. because you can handle the truth.
A new world order.
Extendivite 7-herb formulation is approved to help maintain cardiovascular health and help lower blood lipid levels in adults. Extendivite is made from hawthorn, garlic, valerian, cayenne, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, and milk thistle. The herbs at Extendivite have been chosen for their ability to help with overall health. Many people have reported improved energy and stamina in just a few months. If you think you could feel just a little bit better, then Extendivite may just be for you. Extendivite is an all-natural supplement. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Standing 6'4", weighing in 245 pounds of crime-fighting, political science, analyzing brawn. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Patrick Slattery.
So, Mike, get off this anti-cicada agenda.
I'm a born-again traditional Christian, and my favorite possessions are right here on my nightstand. That would be the King James Bible and my .357 revolver.
I'd rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews.
Cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks, right?
Just because you steal an election and terminate the republic doesn't mean you terminate the people in the republic, because we're still here.
I'm not taking the vaccine. Fuck you, Bill Gates.
There was a way forward still on January 6th. What needed to be done is to object to every single state.
The COVID-19 virus was the setup. The vaccine could very well be the bioweapon.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2, keep it today.
Something happening here, but what it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop, children. What's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Battle lines being drawn. Nobody's right if everybody.
Yes, there's something happening here. It isn't exactly clear. It's becoming more clear. Have you noticed that, folks? You know, the more, I mean, the gloves are off. They're coming out of the woodwork now, exposing their ugly faces. But anyway, before the break, I wanted to mention to you, you know, I had the interesting, privilege, I guess I'd say. Over the past weekend, I had the opportunity to transport via my Ubermobile an F-16 fighter pilot lieutenant and his wife. They were going to a pool party. And, of course, me being me, I couldn't resist the opportunity to pick the young lieutenant's brain regarding the capabilities of a MiG-29 versus an F-16. And I asked him which he would prefer. And he basically gave me a detailed description of why an F-16 would devastate a MiG-29 in combat. Those are his words. He says that all the operational protocols in an F-16, and by the way, I've never flown. I am a pilot, folks, but I've never had the privilege of flying an F-16. But what he said was all of the operational protocols in an F-16 can be carried out without the pilot taking their hands off the stick. Now, also, the F-16 has a clear 360-degree canopy, and it gives the pilot great visibility. Now, these are two distinct characteristics that a MiG-29 lacks. In short, having been in both aircraft, he was, I asked which he would choose in a dogfight. And his answer was, well, the F-16, hands down. And I also posed the question, if he had heard anything from his superiors regarding the possible deployment of U.S. fighter pilots to the region. And his answer was no. So the question is, why finance the possible aggression / retaliation of Polish pilots flying to the rescue in MiG-29s? I mean, we've got F-16s. They've got F-16s. I can only assume to put the Polish pilots in better harm's way with inferior aircraft to prolong an engagement. But, you know, folks, turning to the Ukraine conflict for just a moment, here's an excerpt of a letter written by a Ukrainian to Pastor Chuck Baldwin just this past week. And I'm going to read it to you verbatim here. Okay. It says, "Hello, Pastor Chuck. Ukraine and Russia are one nation. Up to 75% of Ukraine, Russia, Belarus, and Poland have the same ancestry. The media in the United States gives totally different information from what is really going on." Now, remember, this is coming from a guy that lives in the Ukraine, folks. Okay. He says, "I am writing so that you know what is going on in Ukraine from people who are in Ukraine. And here is what the Ukrainian people know. The Russian army is very much on the offensive. But because they do not want to harm the civilian populations, they are moving slow. The Russian army distribute food and medicine to the civilian populations. You won't hear that in our mainstream media. The Russian government pays 10,000 rubles to each senior citizen and to each Ukrainian government employee in each territory they occupy, so that civil servants would still be able to provide civil services to the population." When's the last time you heard that on CNN, folks? "One Ukrainian city was defended by the Azov Battalion, the Ukrainian Nazi gangsters. And from many interviews of the local civilian people, the Azov military destroyed 80% of the buildings in that city. And civilians saw Ukrainian artillery shooting into the buildings of their own towns. Now, sometimes soldiers of the Azov Battalion moved into schools, churches, hospitals, and apartment buildings of the city, and they would stay there for 2 or 3 days. And when they would leave, they would bomb the buildings. Civilians are saying that Ukrainian planes are bombing their own cities, folks. Azov soldiers would not let old people, women, or children move out of the cities. And they said, and I quote, 'You are our living shields,' unquote. And sometimes they would not let civilians get out of their basements for more than 20 days without any food, without any water. And people in one city say that before the war, if they spoke Russian in public, they would be penalized with large fines." Remember that? They invoked that back in 2014 after they ousted Poroshenko. These cities in Ukraine were Russian territory for some 300 years or more. And most of the captured Russian soldiers are being tortured. I reported that here a week or two ago. Folks, and again, I want to reiterate, they were shooting off, and Alex Jones has videos of this, they were shooting off their genitalia when they got out of the trucks bound with, I don't know, what do you call that? It's not handcuffs, it's the, what are those, zip ties, that's what they are. They were bound with zip ties, and as soon as they got off the truck, they'd shoot them in the genitalia, and they'd writhe around on the ground, and the The Ukrainian soldiers, the Azov battalion, would kick him in the groin. One Russian soldier was crucified and burned on a cross by the Ukrainian army. This is coming from a Ukrainian, folks. Many Russian soldiers are being castrated by the Ukrainians. Yes, I guess they're being castrated, as well as some of them are having their genitalia blown off. He goes on to say that, I hope this information is useful and will help to give you a better understanding as to what is really going on in Ukraine. And then there's a few words from Pastor Baldwin himself regarding the debacle. And he says, the media propaganda regarding Ukraine is every bit as preposterous as was its propaganda regarding the COVID, the phony COVID pandemic. And I'll throw in there 9/11 and the Oklahoma City bombing and the Libyan invasion and a whole litany of others. He says, for all of the reasons stated by David Stockman and by numerous eyewitness testimonies that he had received from people inside Ukraine, for the media Nazis like Sean Hannity, which I am really beginning to detest, Sean Hannity makes me sick, folks. To inanely support war with Russia, even nuclear war over Ukraine, makes him, and he's talking about Hannity, and the rest of the war party's mindless media moguls appear as mentally deranged as that cognitive midget at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. Senator Rand Paul is exactly right. Joe Biden's declining mental faculties present a national security risk that could see the United States dragged into a war with Russia. And the mainstream media seems gleefully insouciant in their eagerness to follow this injudicious idiot into potential global nuclear war. And over what? What is no more than the globalist deep state's financial laundromat in Eastern Europe, the home of more neo-Nazis and neo-Nazi gangs than any country in the world. The American people, including Christian people, need to snap out of their fascination with war propaganda and war propagandists, because this is not funny. This is not a joke. This is not a kid's game. This is deadly serious. The Russian people have endured the horrors of war in their homeland that the American people cannot even begin to imagine. Folks, and I remind you, the people in the World War II generation, they've pretty much, for the most part, there's a few sprinkles left, but most of them have passed on. These latest generations, aside from the veterans that have seen it up close and personal, the public at large knows nothing of this. If the unthinkable happened, those people are a million times more prepared to endure the hardships, and he's talking about the Russian people, that would ensue them than we as Americans, because Americans haven't faced it. Americans haven't been through this. In fact, I can't think of a citizenry in the world more unprepared for a global nuclear war than the spoiled, pampered people of the United States. Folks, and if you think about that, think of what all of us are up against. Think about how, you know, when you go out into society, when you go to the grocery store, when you go to the gas station, when you encompass any conversation of any sorts, is 99% of it mindless? Hi, nice day. What do you think of those Bears? What do you think of the Raiders? What happened to that basketball game last night? All surface BS. Nothing of any substance, nothing of any depth, nothing that has a concern. Yeah, rarely. Once in a while, you'll find somebody with two brain cells to rub together. I do in the back of my Uber. It's about one out of 20, maybe two at times. But most of the people are clueless. And, you know, a lot of it is by design. They're clueless by design. They don't want to be involved because if they're faced with the truth, as we know, then they're forced to make a decision. And that decision changes their whole paradigm in life. And these people have their paradigm. They have their views, their perspectives on life, and they want to walk up. They don't want to be involved. They don't want to, you know, they don't want to be active in any of this stuff. You know, in a way, folks, I don't blame them, because I got active just last week. I went to an event that was held by Kerry Lake. And I have to tell you, I'm disgusted, absolutely disgusted at what the left is trying to do to Kerry Lake. There is, I think, this is off topic, but I just want to share this with you. there is like, I think, three Republicans that are running for the gubernatorial race here in Arizona. Carrie Lake is one of them. The other two are a little less known. She was a reporter for Fox News. That's why she has the name. But there's like, I don't know, 11 on the Democratic ticket, all of which are unknown, with the exception of Katie Hobbs, who happens to be the secretary. I think she's the Secretary of State. I think she's a leftist that's paid off by the Chinese Communist Party. But all of these people, it takes 11,000 signatures to get on the ballot. These people have developed the signatures in one form or another, probably through false ballot harvesting or however they do it. These people, excuse me, don't know their hind end from a hole in the ground. And they're on there just blasting the heck, making up lies on social media, which, by the way, social media permits. You make up the truth. No, they don't permit that, folks. But if you want to blast somebody and make up stories about them, social media will just give you a welcoming. They'll roll out the red carpet for you. People are saying that, well, Carrie Lake paid $50,000 to Donald Trump to get the endorsement. Nonsense. Donald Trump doesn't need $50,000. And in the brief encounter that I had with Carrie Lake, I have to say that she's a genuine individual. She's well known. She was a Fox News reporter. She resigned because she couldn't handle the deception and the corruption in there. But she really wants the best for this state. Do I expect her to win? No, I don't. The reason I don't is because there's too much money behind the left, i.e. Soros and his gang, and also all of these people that they're putting in here to just slam the heck out of Carrie Lake. And for those of us who don't do any deep research, with all those people on the Democratic ticket, don't. That's not what they're designed to do. All they're designed to do is take orders. They parrot what is being told to them because they're too stupid and too lazy to find out for themselves. Anyway, tell you what, folks. Both myself and most people I know would gladly give our lives in defense of our homeland against an attacking alien force. But it will be a cold day in Hades before I am willing to give my life and the lives of my family to help the corrupt criminals in the globalist deep state hold on to their illicit blood money in a land of Nazi gangsters and Zionist banksters halfway around the world. That was said by Chuck Baldwin, and I agree with him. I wouldn't either. And I look at, and folks, and I know you have too, I look at all of these young men that are, and I pick them up at college. Well, you know, I'm going into the Navy, I'm going to the Air Force, and I bite my tongue. Because now, in my tender young age of 72, knowing what I know, seeing what I've seen, I know that all of these wars are perpetrated. They're foisted upon the young people naively, thinking that they're upholding democracy, protecting the American people, when it's basically the exact opposite. We are overthrowing governments to put in people who conform to our agenda. And when I say our, I mean the United States or the globalists' agenda. These people don't know what they're doing. They don't know what they're getting into. Yet we salute them at baseball games. You know, they're heroes. Well, they're heroes in one way, but they're naive idiots in another. Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Patrick in Texas. Patrick, you're on with Michael. Go ahead.
Yeah. The Germans are constantly getting a bad rap here now. These CIA agents, ASLA battalion, that's got nothing to do with what National Socialism is about. It's about being, about your nation, being social. And I think Nick Griffin kind of hammered that home when he said, you know, you're looking at, you see, like Great Britain. He said he's a member of parliament and a leader. He said Great Britain is not in one just war except for the Falklands. That was majority, a bunch of British people lived there, and it's just right that they should have it back. Everything else, like when they went to they fought the Germans. You know, the Germans had invaded Poland because this maniac New World Order-backed general was killing all the German people. And he tried to get some kind of agreement with him, and refused because they deliberately set that up. And they put it on us. And then the First World War, it was like the Balfour Agreement, where the Zionists told, you know, that Germany had already won the war, and they were just working out, we'll just, you know, just call it a day, and everybody just go home, and nobody's a loser. And that was being considered by Great Britain. But the Zionists stepped in and said, no, we'll bring America into the war if you give us Palestine. And then they went back to America and started using their mass media to slander all the German people who are Germany was a German was a very close to being the spoken English language of America. It was real close, but so they slandered. They said we were killing nuns and cutting off the hands of babies. It was ridiculous, but that's what they do.
You know, hold that thought, Patrick. We've got to go to a break. I'll hold you over if you have another thought. Be back in three. Michael Herzog, the National Intel Report. More to come. Phone lines are open, folks. 512-248-8252. I'm starting to memorize that. 512-248-8252. Be back in three with Patrick in Texas.
American Freedom News is your daily website that will keep you fully informed on what both the good guys and bad guys are doing in the information war in which we are all engaged. Fed up with the lies of the fake news media and the censorship of big tech giants? American Freedom News is the solution, as we provide truth and knowledge on all the vital issues of the day. American Freedom News believes in America first. The establishment wants us split into numerous hostile groups rather than uniting in a common cause against the corrupt oligarchy that is plundering America and the world. Many more Americans are waking up and realizing they are the victims of the ongoing Great Replacement and Great Reset. But the malevolent forces trying to systematically destroy America can and will be defeated. Be fully informed by reading American Freedom News, the best news and information site on the Internet. Go to AmericanFreedomNews.us and find out for yourself. That's AmericanFreedomNews.us.
Hey there, are you gonna wait till the cows come home to get your new Ease-Off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an Ease-Off drop-in lift?
Our Ease-Off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the Ease-Off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my Ease-Off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Oh.
cause I'm the tax man. Yeah, I'm the tax man. If you drive your car, I'll tax the street. If you try to sit, I'll tax your feet. If you get too cold, I'll tax your heat. If you take a walk, I'll tax your feet. Tax man.
All right, we're back with the National Intel Report. I don't like that version of Tax Man. That was George Harrison was the original singer of that song, and whoever did that, I don't like. But anyway, getting back, Patrick in Texas, go ahead, finish your thoughts. But he was talking about Germany and the German people. Go ahead.
Yeah, Poland. Nick Griffin said that Germany was totally justified in going into Poland because they just like, you know, the Falklands. That was a justified war. Italy and Germany that helped General Franco kick out these communist antifa types that were throwing nuns in tar pits and going after the priests. The priests had to pick up rifles to fight back. And these are Bolshevik, communists. The Balkans down there, the South Africa, the Boer, they bombed all the farms where the women were children were rounded up, and they killed more women and children by starvation than they killed soldiers. It's just amazing what they get away with. They did that in the First World War with Germany, where Churchill declared food a contraband. They did it in the Second World War, where they starved to death 1.2 million in Eisenhower's death camps. Wouldn't let Red Cross feed them or other people. And they killed 13 million after 1945 by cutting all the food supplies. It's a matter of who's got the best PR machine. And right now, they do. And with that, I'll back off. Thank you.
All right. Well, thanks. I appreciate the input. Yeah, and what you're covering there, I reported this many years ago. I did a complete 10-part series on that, what really happened. And I have to be careful about that because I was actually dismissed from some particular airwaves. I'm not going to mention who, but I just looked at it for the reality of what it was. Was Hitler a nice guy? No. Is Putin a nice guy? Probably not. But whether you're a nice guy or not, there is motivation and justification based upon any empathy you might have for a specific race or creed of people, and both of those two fall into that category. So can you demonize them for doing so? No. Especially when this government uses that to the nth degree, especially the children, the humanitarian crisis. They use that time and time again, beating their drums about the justification for going in there. Well, that's exactly the reason why one of the reasons why Vladimir Putin went in there. But because it was Vladimir Putin, he's a demon and a thug and a killer, folks. Here at the top of the hour break coming up. We'll be back in 2 minutes. Michael Herzog, the National Intel Report. Second hour coming up. Stick around. The phone lines will be open. 512-248-8252. See you next hour. 2 minutes. Be right back.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and a new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.